This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The new Adjutant General for the Vermont National Guard is Colonel Greg Knight. He takes over the role this coming Friday. He was elected by state lawmakers last month and is replacing retiring Adjutant General Major General Stephen Cray. A longtime Huntington resident, Knight has been in the military for more than 35 years, serving in the Vermont Army National Guard, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Vermont Air Guard. The Vermont Guard is still dealing with the fallout from a months-long V.T. Digger investigation chronicling allegations of sexual harassment, abuse of power, and other misconduct. Knight says he wants to change the culture of the organization to deal with some of those issues, but he'll also have to deal with a potentially problematic number of positions that the Guard is struggling to fill, as well as the potential for a major deployment in the next several months. Colonel Greg Knight joins us now to talk about all of this. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
So, you know, you knew, obviously, when you stood for this position, that you would have to answer questions about a Guard culture that was chronicled in these V.T. Digger reports written by Jasper Craven that included things like a campus bar at Camp Johnson that was rowdy, a culture where some women felt uncomfortable, to say the least, allegations of misconduct. What made you want to stand for that position now in light of everything going on?
Well, first I would tell you that the late General Mike Heston asked me to run. Mike was a loyal and decent friend for many years. I probably had known him for up to 30 years, and he's actually the reason I'm doing what I'm doing now.
Becoming an adjutant general or even previous to?
Even previous. We were in law enforcement together, and then he convinced me to go to officer candidate school, and you know everything kind of took off from there. But the other piece of it, and I'd mentioned this to WCAX, is if I look at every opportunity that my families have, every opportunity that I've had, my education, everything that my children have, it's because of this organization and the opportunities that it presents. So I want to make it better and have those same opportunities for every Vermonter who qualifies for military service.
You served in human resources in the Guard as well. You have some experience with that?
Correct.
So does that make you particularly suited for the job of Adjutant General, or does that mean that you perhaps bear some responsibility for a culture that was not welcoming to everybody who was a member of the Guard?
Well, officers and NCOs, but officers will rotate through different positions within the organization, and part of that is to ensure a well-rounded and experienced workforce. But there's a difference between responsibility and authority. So I think what we need to get to is when we have the responsibility, and we all have the responsibility to identify shortcomings in the organization, get it to the authority, the command authority that can make change. And I think that's what we will do. If you have the authority, make the change.
Did you know there was a problem? Did you feel like there was a problem? And do you feel like there's a problem with culture in the Guard?
As the human resources officer, I was probably not attuned to it before moving into the personnel field. I'll give you an example. As if I had 10 instances of reportable sexual harassment within a year, what I've learned now being affiliated and having worked in human resources is, well, that's the 10 we know of. How bad was it before that victim, that survivor came forward? How many times did it happen before that? And how many times does it happen where it doesn't go reported? And I think there are some ways to get at that.
So like what? What are the ways to get at that? Because there are both ways that you can do it by policy and changing policy or strengthening policies, and then in other ways that address sort of the culture and the feel of the Guard. So let's talk policy first. Mm-hmm. What are your plans?
Well, the policy, it's good practice for us, and we've been inconsistent with it. Some units are better than others. Some commanders are better than others. Developmental counseling. And we're talking at every level. So when you do a developmental counseling, you're giving that subordinate job expectations, performance expectations, expectations of conduct. And then if we're doing it right, you revisit that in 90 days. And what we sometimes forget is, oh, by the way, the second part of that counseling statement is, here's what I will do to get you there. A lot of times we're a very busy organization and we become transactional or reactive. We have so many priorities. Somewhere, people being our center of gravity gets lost in that. So to get back to what we're supposed to be doing is transformational leadership and preparing our subordinates to take over our jobs. I think that's kind of a foundational element of how we get to fixing our culture.
So training is one of them, and you think that will address culture as well, to have better training. There's more to talk about with that, and we'll have more time with you on these questions once you're actually Adjutant General and have been in the position. But I want to talk about a couple other issues too. The Guard has about 400 open positions that need to be filled in order to be at full capacity.
That's across the whole organization, yeah. And that's recruiting has been a challenge for us, and I've got some solutions that I've been working on.
Like what?
So if I looked across, I need to bring a whole of Vermont approach to recruiting. So we can work separately and struggle, and our federal partners can work separately and struggle, and our higher education institutions in Vermont who also need to bring in students. So what I've done is I've started an initiative, and I started this back in January. Unfortunately, the furlough was going on, so I couldn't meet with all of our federal partners. If we're working collaboratively, imagine the power of a young man or woman who goes to a Vermont college or university, joins the Guard. Their education entitlement takes care of their tuition. At the end of that 4 years, they have a security clearance. They've got something to put on their resume. They have a specialty. But now we can align them with federal service. And that's just great for Vermont. It's great for workforce development. And that comes with a service obligation. So we're keeping them here for 4 years.
Do you think the greater problem is that military service is not an appealing choice for young Vermonters and young Americans these days? And is tuition benefit and that sort of alignment with federal service going to be enough to overcome that hurdle?
Potentially. I think part of it is we need to do a better job telling our story. And I've said that for a number of years. Not everybody understands what the National Guard does for our community, for our state, and for our nation, and all the benefits and rewards that come with it. To me, it's the best part-time job in the world. And in my case, it became a full-time job.
For many people, it becomes a full-time job when there is a major deployment. And I know that deployments, large-scale deployments, are cyclical in nature. And so it sounds like the Guard is ramping up in preparation and in training for the potential for another large-scale deployment. Do you know what the orders might be and when you might have them?
We haven't received it's a chronological series of events. We would receive a notification, in essence, turning on of money, a notification of sourcing. Then you'll receive an alert, hey, you're on the next rotation. And then, you know, you have your warning order, meaning here's the date that you go. But irrespective of all of that, we're at a point in our cycle, the sustained readiness model. We have to be ready. And that's where we're focused right now, which is leading to our collective training event at Fort Polk in May.
But do you get a sense early on before you get, you know, I understand there's that chronology, but you must have some sense of, you know, what global conflicts are going on that your Guard members might be attached to or be a part of. So how do you sort of get that into your head and get that readiness, mental readiness to know where you might be going?
And that's part of the subtlety of it is working with National Guard Bureau, kind of working the back channel. And we're not going to go into this as an unknown. We're going to know it in advance. To what degree? It depends on the amount of information we have.
Do you have more information than you can give me about where that deployment is likely to be?
Not currently.
I want to double back to this recruitment issue. You have some ideas for how to recruit more people to make it more appealing, to make sure that people can get an education and do their service. If you're not able to fill those 400 empty positions, or if that number doesn't decrease significantly, does that affect the mission of the Vermont Guard?
It may. The bigger concern is you have growth states, states that have the demographic that can support a growth in their what we call force structure. That's the equipment, the people, everything that they need to do their mission. We have sustainment states or sustained states where they keep it. And then we have, for lack of a better term, a donor state where if you can't meet your recruiting mission, you can't achieve your assigned strength goals, particularly on the Army side, then you run some risk of potentially losing that force structure. We want to try to get ahead of that.
Is 400 – I know the 400 open positions are across the Guard.
It's across the Guard.
So that includes the Air Guard. Mm-hmm. But is that a potential problem for the Army Guard that if you're – you know, how many do you have to fill before you could sort of feel free of that concern that you might start to see some siphoning off?
I think we're kind of right on the bubble right now, and I haven't had an opportunity yet to go down to National Guard Bureau, but I would like to try to get some time to get my feet under me day three in the job and see if we can't turn things around and start working on some initiatives and bring that whole of Vermont approach together and turn it around.
One of the things that you're going to have to be addressing as Adjutant General is the continuing questions and concern around the arrival of the F-35s. And that sort of community engagement has been problematic for many people in Chittenden County who surround the airport. How do you plan to engage with community members who remain really concerned and angry about the F-35s?
I do understand it is polarizing for some. And I think the answer to that is going to be continued engagement. And I have yet to meet with the airport authority, but that's another element of this is in continuing and improving our relationship and communication with our neighbors. We have to be good neighbors.
Well, we look forward to seeing how that happens, and I'm sure we'll have more opportunities to talk to you about each of these issues that we've just been just touching on here today. Colonel Greg Knight is the incoming Adjutant General of the Vermont National Guard, and he officially takes over from Major General Stephen Cray this coming Friday. Colonel Knight, thank you very much for making time for us.
I appreciate it, Jen.